The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I believe that we are being given an opportunity to actually see the truth of who we are as a country. Antifa, Nazis, Berkeley, all of that. Everything you're seeing on television, in the media, that's all a lie about who we are. We can talk all you want about, you know, the Confederate states and the Confederate flag and the statues and whether they need to go or whether they need to be pulled down. None of that makes any difference when Americans are in trouble and one of those Confederate slave states, the evil state of Texas, is again leading the way, showing America who Americans really are. A great opportunity for us to look and say, you want to be with those guys or you want to be with these people? One is good and lifting up, and one is tearing down. I don't know about you, but to me, the choice is really clear, and we begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to talk to you briefly, because I don't want to dwell on this. I want to just give you a couple of stories that I saw yesterday that I think are important, because I want to put Martin Luther King's words to the test. That America, when they see the difference between good and evil, black and white, when they are put side by side, Americans will always pick good. And I've wondered, is that true? Because everything we see on television is bad. Everything about us is bad. And I've wondered, will we be able to choose good anymore? Let me just give you a couple of examples, and you tell me. Leftist group, Antifa, Occupy Trump. They now say that they are going to do a months-long resistance against Donald Trump beginning November 4th. Resistance protesters will begin a multi-year Occupy Wall Street-style demonstration in major cities across America. They are calling themselves Resist Fascism. When you look into this group and these people, you see what they really want. And what they really want is not a resistance of fascism, but their own style of fascism. You then have Antifa and the violence that is going on in Berkeley. And then Burning Man is right around the corner. Burning Man, which seemed to be like, you know, kind of a fun thing when it first started, kind of a cool thing. Fun now has turned into hate the rich. People are throwing raw sewage on the tents of the rich people that are there, calling them parasites. And here are some of the things that are happening at Burning Man. Slutty mini golf hosted by Camp Slut Putt. Burners are invited to come play around in slutty mini golf. May the biggest slut win. Polgasm, get yours. The event page doesn't define exactly what that means, but I think you can figure out. There's another one that I don't need to say the name. Listed under adult-oriented activities, offers various ways for women to find intense physical pleasure. Then there is Camp Beaverton's Lesbianish Lending Library. Pick up a good book. Share one of your favorites. Trashy lesbian romance novels. Man-to-man play. Adult 18, gay, bi, curious men. 24/7. To down-low clubs, discreet air-cooled tent for erotic man play. There's the Spank Bank. Have you been naughty or would you like to be? The Sex Cult, Spanky's University, and a day spa that I can't tell you. And here's one that I think is interesting. Sponsored by Planned Parenthood. Rebirth Your Burn, The Birth Canal. Planned Parenthood is proud to present a new birth canal for you to shed the sins of yesterday and be reborn into the dust. Spend a meditative moment in our womb of a dome and then climb into the canal and be delivered. Squeeze your way through the start and start the rest of your new life. It won't hurt or much. Nearby bar, open from noon to midnight. Bring your own sins. You have to navigate an obstacle course of contraceptive devices through an interior orifice. Twisty turns of the birth canal, reproducing something that we all have in common, the moment we entered into this self-reliant, dusty life. You have to jump over a big freaking Bible, through a coat hanger, and climb a set of stairs to nowhere, and you can chill in the room. Okay, that's what they're doing. Now let me tell you another story. Rockport, Texas. Saturday, the residents affected by Hurricane Harvey, they went to a storm shelter in Rockport. It was in disarray. Nobody knew what to do. The guy who was in charge was a 29-year-old guy. He had no medical expertise at all. He was actually a screenwriter. He had moved to Rockport from Lexington, Kentucky, 3 months ago, where he was living with his father, a cancer survivor. He went to a shelter to find out how he could help ahead of the storm on Friday. After realizing there were no supplies or management at the shelter, he stepped up. Texas Emergency Medical Task Force, when they arrived, they asked who was running the shelter, and everyone pointed to him. He was the only one able to update on the situation. The shelter had 126 people at last headcount. Six were medically fragile. Four needed oxygen. Two needed hospice care. He was able to recruit 15 people, most of them under the age of 21. He assigned them to 30-minute shifts. They got people together into the shelter. They pulled food and water. They plugged leaks from the incoming rain. He, without any experience, without anybody asking, he just stepped up and got it done. But it's not just here over and over and over again stories of heroism instead of the situation like it was in New Orleans 3 days into it, where people were looting and shooting at the helicopters. Instead, Houston, Texas, one of the most diverse cities in the nation, is pulling together. But also in New York City. Michael Klein, he was on WCBS, said she was walking up the stairs of the Broadway Lafayette subway station Saturday. She saw two people sitting in a dangerous place above the trains. There were beams about 20 feet high, 5 feet apart. She said, I really couldn't tell if they were laughing or if one person was crying. I thought they were friends. I wasn't sure. My first thought was, how did they get up there? Why are you goofing off? This is so dangerous. She asked another passenger what was going on. The girl said, see that girl? She just climbed over the railing. She went across the beam. She was saying suicidal things. And that guy, who apparently doesn't know her, climbed over the fence with her, walked out onto this beam, put his arm around her, and was comforting her. Now let me ask you, are you going to climb over a fence? Are you going to whack a tightrope across a beam 25 feet above the deadly subway trains in New York City to go try to rescue a girl that you don't know? Now, let me ask you this. Which one of these are we? And I know we're both. We have in our society both. But which one do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of something that is so shallow that your accomplishment in life, with all of the things that are going on, your accomplishment in life is to come up with a birth canal where you're challenging people who are going to a bar to try to navigate over the big freaking Bible and a coat hanger? With all the things going on in the world, do you want to stand with the people, be them Nazis or Antifa? Do you want to be the one that is standing with them, that is talking about why that statue of the guy who started the Klan should be up or shouldn't be up? But not just discussing it in a logical way and using, you know, the usual American ways of solving problems. Instead, you want to be the ones shouting at each other? I don't think so. None of us do. We all want to be the person on the beam. But not all of us can be. Not all of us have the courage. I don't have the courage to be the 9/11 firefighters. I don't have the courage to be a regular firefighter. I don't have the courage to be a cop. But we all want to support the people who do walk out of the beam. We want to be there and cheer them on and be inspired by the ones who do run up the stairs into a burning building. The ones who do stand in front of the bad guys, quite honestly, and protect their right. America has been given a great gift, a reprieve from the hatred, and a chance to see who we really are. If your media source is not giving you the opportunity to see those things and to not make this about politics, to not make this about party and partisan and policy, I don't know about you, but I'm done with all that. There's too much real pain going on in the world to spend our time and our day just worried about that. My daughter and I were having a conversation. She said, "Dad, I just want to make a difference. That's all I want to do. I want to know that what I get up in the morning and do, that it matters." It's so funny. I told her, I said, "Honey, I want you to come back to work and I want you to read what I wrote on my glass window." I use it as kind of a whiteboard. I said, "I just wrote something on there just today." This was last week. I want to do something that matters. We're all like that. Here's an opportunity. I'll tell you what we have going on in the ground. We're going to take you to Houston here in a second. But if you want to get involved, please go to mercury1.org. That's mercury1.org. I'm going to tell you the things that Mercury One is doing. 100% of all of the proceeds going right directly to the people I'm going to tell you about, the people who are already out on the ground, who were in semi-trucks on Friday staging water and blankets and everything else. You have helped us develop one incredible network of good people that can help. You want to make a difference and you have $5 to donate? You can. Mercury1.org. Do that now. Mercury1.org. Sponsor this half hour is Casper. Casper Mattress has two high-tech foams that guarantee that you have a great night's sleep, sleeping cool, comfortable, and fully supported every single night. It ships for free in a teeny little box that you're going to be able to take from the front door. You, not you and others, just you. You're going to be able to pick it up, take it into the bedroom. I suggest that you open that box on where you want the bed, on the box spring, and open it and then stand back and watch this thing explode into a full-size, you know, king-size or whatever size you get mattress. They've cut out the middleman and they've reinvented the foam mattress. So now you sleep cool and comfortable with all the support you need every single night. And if you don't love it, just call them and they will refund every penny and they will come up and pick up that mattress from you. This is the best way to find a mattress and find the one that is right for you. Try it out in your own home for 100 nights risk-free right now with Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The fusion of entertainment, and enlightenment. And enlightenment.
Because we are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So this storm looks like it's backed out over the Gulf again. And that usually means it's going to gather steam and then it will come back in. Are we thinking now that it might go to New Orleans? I know Galveston is going to get hit hard again.
Yeah, the way they talked about it was not necessarily that it was going to gather like strength as much as it was going to go gather some more water.
Well, same.
So, you know, so we're not necessarily looking at wind problems as much as more rain, and Galveston's supposed to get hit even, you know, very hard. But they don't think New Orleans is going to be massive flooding.
New Orleans is still in the same situation they were in. I mean, really, not a lot has happened in New Orleans since the last hurricane. I mean, they didn't fix the problems. They did what a corrupt government always does. They fix as much as they can, and then they waste all of the rest of the money on other things, and then they'll blame it on whatever, global warming or you know, Donald Trump or whatever they're going to blame it on. I don't know if you guys saw the story that GlennBeck.com published today. I just put it up on my Facebook page about an hour ago. We went back and we found the audio of the show I did almost a year to the day of Katrina, where I explained what's going to happen to New Orleans if a hurricane blows into New Orleans. It's bone chilling because almost all of it happened.
And it wasn't even the strength of the storm that was needed in those predictions.
Yeah.
They were talking about if a Category 5 hit it or something,
yes.
And that's not even what happened.
Yeah.
It was still a complete disaster.
Yeah, and it's pretty bone chilling. And you look at it now and you say, nobody listened to the warning then. Could things have been changed? Yes. And it's why there are so many people in our audience that when Katrina happened, A, we weren't surprised. We knew going into it, if this hits, they should be pulling everybody out. They should pull everybody out. Our audience wasn't surprised. And when they started to make this about politics, we again weren't surprised because the politicians, the local politicians, had to make it about something. Otherwise, it would have come back and been on their doorstep because it was clear what had happened.
Yeah, it's kind of the reverse of Houston. I mean, I know Pat was there for the last huge storm. Was it Rita, Pat?
Well, the last one that caused a lot of damage was Ike. In 2008.
2008.
But that was only a Category 2.
Right. What was the one? I think it was Rita where everyone tried to
It was Rita where everybody tried to leave.
Where all the death came.
Yeah.
The death came when the people evacuating.
3 million people evacuating at the same time caused some problems.
So that why the city decided not to evacuate this time?
It might be.
And did that save people?
We don't know. I mean, I guess it's too early to tell that. You know, they're getting a lot of criticism, and there was disagreement between the governor and
the mayor.
Right.
I know there are people in Houston who believe an evacuation, especially the way that storm came in, which, again, it was supposed to hit really more Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
And then it was really overnight kind of came in. And this was sort of a surprise in Houston that it hit this way, this badly. And they, without that much warning, trying to evacuate people that quickly, they think may have been
if you would have done that, I mean, look at the highways. If you would have done that and evacuated all those people and they were all sitting there, remember, Pat?
Yes.
They ran out of gas.
Yes.
People ran out of gas. There was no way to get out.
The flooding.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people would have died.
I mean, there just would have been people. If they were lucky, you don't see the roofs of the cars on those highways. Those are long underneath the water. Imagine you have the population of Houston on the streets in their cars, trapped with their families.
That could have been horrendous. Catastrophic.
I mean, I don't think that we judge good or bad right now on the evacuation plan that didn't happen in Houston. It may have actually been a godsend this time around with the way this thing rolled in. Back in just a second, live report from Houston on the boats. Next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
As you may have heard, I was out yesterday. It's because I'm leaving the industry to start my own face cream company, offshoot. But I found out yesterday that it's really not that good. I don't know
really?
Why. Yeah, I don't know why, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's wife now is leaving.
She's leaving.
To start her own face cream company. it's not that good, but so I'm back. Anyway.
You are the only person who's ever come back.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing.
I know. So we have Jason Buttrill on. Jason is chief researcher for the Glenn Beck Program. He's also a former Army intel and just a general do-good kind of guy that we love having around. Jason is in Houston right now, and you are you on the boats yet with Team Rubicon?
We are not on the boats yet, but we are en route to a location that's further south, closer into the heart of Houston proper. We linked up last night, got to the rally point, and they were just kind of getting all their gear together. But now we're in a convoy down to one of the, what they're saying is the hardest hit area at the moment. There's been a levee that is broken nearby, and there is a certain spots that are in the most need where people are requesting the most amount of rescue work. And that is where they're heading. They're heading right into the middle of it. It is, I gotta tell you, Glenn, I'm just really impressed with everything we've seen so far. There's been no vehicles going south towards Houston at all, except for just Good Samaritans and other private organizations like Team Rubicon with boats. All you can see going out, we're in a convoy now, and all you can see is boats, private flat bottom boats heading down to help people. It really is amazing. People are awesome.
I will tell you that this is the idea, and yes, I believe that, you know, the federal government has a role and everything else, but it is the role of last resort. It is always the role of last resort. We need to be the first responders. We'd still be waiting for FEMA to get boats and everything else. Look at what just the average citizen is doing. I got a boat. I'm going down. And they're going down and they're rescuing people. This is who we are.
This is exactly who we are. We have seen some FEMA people as well. We saw a crew from Miami-Dade. FEMA sent them down. We saw them yesterday.
And I don't want to bash them by any stretch of the imagination. All hands on deck, and I welcome everybody. So please don't take that as a FEMA bash.
But you are exactly right, though, Glenn. I saw one FEMA crew that was out here. Everybody else has been private organizations and private citizens. I'm absolutely amazed. And these people are doing this under incredible harm. They're already getting, and this is a big, big, of course, they're worried about their safety, and there's another storm that's blowing. It's blowing back in, and I think a few hours, and they're expecting another 16 inches of rain just by this evening. So this is going to get a lot worse. But beyond that, they're already starting to get reports that some people, as the boat crews are going house to house, there are reports that some of them are getting ambushed. They're trying to overtake some of the boats and steal the boats. People are getting desperate. At this point, they've run out of, they don't have any power. Well, they're running out of food. They're running out of water. There's other reports that people are shooting at the rescue boats as they're going by. People are desperate.
Okay, so here's the thing that we learned, and this is something that, you know, the United States government did a study on in the 1950s and 60s, you know, in fear of nuclear war. If things break down, how long do you have? Generally speaking, you have about 72 hours before people start to get violent. And that is because it's not necessarily the desperation as much as it is people realize I'm the king of the world. I have this little fiefdom and I can do whatever I want and nobody's coming in to stop me. And the bad guys, and every city and every race and everything else has bad guys like that. And it usually takes about 72 hours. I'm surprised it has taken this long. I'm sorry to hear that that's going on, but it's not a surprise.
But the good news is that in spite of the bad guys, there is a fleet. There is an army of good guys. This we're with the group or with Team Rubicon. They're primarily a veteran group. They're veterans. We were talking to them and hanging out with them all last night as they were getting all their gear together. And there's guys like some of my boys from the Marine Corps. There's Army vets. There's Navy vets. There's all branches of service represented out here with this organization. And I was talking to them. I'm like, you work for Team Abel Clan? They're like, no, we're volunteers. I'm like, where'd you come from? He's like, oh, I come from New. One guy was from New Mexico. Another guy was from somewhere else, some other state up north. They just mobilize whenever they're needed. They've been in Nepal. They go all over the place. If a disaster strikes, they mobilize. This is exactly who we are. We are amidst Americans. And actually, you know, I'm here with Sean, and we both feel kind of small at the moment. We are amongst giants.
So tell me what you saw in Houston that you didn't expect to see.
Well, I didn't expect to see the amount of rescue workers. I did not expect that. So we are starting to see flooding now. We didn't see any when we came in last night because it was so dark. We are starting to see that now, and we're driving through all the checkpoints to get up till we can put the boats in. But I did not expect to see the amount of people. I mean, you know, we were just in South America, and we saw, you know, we were going down canals, and we saw a bunch of, like, people in boats. You could barely get through some of those canals.
Yes.
And that's what it looks like out here in many of these places. But they're all private citizens doing rescue ops. But it's that crowded. I mean, it's amazing. You could almost jump from boat to boat to boat in some of these places. That's how many people are out here trying to help. I did not expect to see that. Texans, you have stood up today. I am so proud of you.
Will you do me a favor? And please call somebody. I don't know who would do this. Call Michelle in my office. But make sure you have access to my Facebook page and live stream some stuff today for me on my Facebook page, and also shoot some stuff back to us so we can cover it as we're going along. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jason is down there for the Glenn Beck program covering it, but Team Rumicon and Mercury One are down, and I want to tell you a little bit about this little organization that we started when I left Fox, and it was called Mercury One. And the idea behind it is twofold. If we want the government to do less, then we have to do more as individuals. And the other comes from Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, with malice toward none and charity for all. We can't close our hearts on anyone, especially because of the way they voted. And keeping our hearts soft will help us. So I didn't want to do a, I don't want to be a, I can barely run my own life, let alone a big, huge service organization. So we started this, and we were asking, let's find the people who want to stand up in their own communities, and let's help enforce them. Let's help give them the supplies. So I want to tell you who we've partnered with and where your money is going. And 100% of the money that is raised, 100% goes to the places that you earmark. So if you come in and you say, I want it to go to the hurricane, then 100% of that money will go to the hurricane. These are the people we've partnered with. And this is what we've been doing for the last 5 days. Operation Barbecue is now staging in Spring, Texas, because I-45 was closed down. They are moving to Houston to the convention center today. They are going to cook Wednesday's lunch and dinner. They're ramping up to serve $25,000 a day, or sorry, 25,000 people a day by Friday for the shelter at the convention center, as well as the first responders. Operation Barbecue are these people that we found a few years ago, and they are remarkable. They come in with all this beef and they just start cooking meals. 25,000. These will be the guys who are providing the food at the convention center in Houston by Friday. They start today. We currently have the capacity to feed 20,000 meals per day, but we're going to need to do more. And this is a Mercury One project. And we ask you to please donate at mercuryone.org. Also, Team Rubicon. These are the boat crews that are out. They are sending in crews right now in multiple cities throughout the coast. And once the floodwaters go down, they are going to stay there and they're going to help with the cleanup. We have City Impact. These are church partners that are ready to deliver meals from Corpus Christi, Padre Island, Rockport, Angleton, Rosenberg, Houston, Baytown. On Friday, I got a note that we had 3 tractor trailers that were already loaded. We have 4 more. They're already gone. 4 more ready to go. They are going to be serving through long-term serving through faith partners, and there are going to be six mass distribution sites in the area. Somebody Cares. This is a team that drove down from San Antonio to Corpus Christi on Saturday. They're basing all their operations at Journey Church. They are going through Victoria and Rockport as well. They have a mobile kitchen, and they began serving hot meals on Sunday. Gleaning the World already dispatched 4 tractor trailer loads of water, 16 loads of blankets. We are currently in transit with additional water, baby products, personal care products, and other things that people need, you know, when they find themselves out of a house. And then the Provisions Project. This is search and rescue. They are helping assist them in fuel, equipment, and meals. They are sending the fuel, the equipment, and the meals. They have over 100 volunteers and 40 boats that are at the ready with local emergency officials. They're working with the Sheriff's Department, and Provisions Project plans to be part of the long-term rebuild efforts as well. This is where your money is going. These are partners that we have partnered with for a long time. We look for the people who are doing it the most efficiently, getting the most amount of money directly to the people or the project that you want to donate to. Please go to mercuryone.org. Yesterday we raised $200,000, but we need to do a lot better than that. But if you would like to be involved, please find a way for your family to be involved. Go door to door with your, you know, to your neighbors and ask them to get involved. Have your kids sell, you know, cookies in the neighborhood or whatever, to try to raise some funds. Get your family involved. And anything that you can do, even if it is just prayer, we sure would appreciate it. It's mercuryone.org and our disaster relief. We have more on that and something really, I think, really exciting to tell you about coming up in just a few minutes, and we'll do that. Stand by. Also, we need to tell you about our sponsor this half hour. Our sponsor is Delta Defense. I remember when we were in Philadelphia and we all took lessons, shooting lessons, and we all were learning how to, you know, carry a gun. And one of the first things that you learn is call 911, leave the line open, and speak loudly about what's going on. This is the Northeast. Speak loudly about what's going on. Say, look, somebody's in my house. I'm afraid for my life. The children and everybody is here. And then, you know, put the phone down or hang on to the phone. But, you know, when you're, if that person is approaching you, make sure you're saying, I fear for my life. Stop or I'll shoot. Make sure 911 has that on record. Why? Because, especially in the Northeast, you're toast. You shoot an intruder in your house, you're toast. Who's protecting you after you've protected the kids? That's where Delta Defense comes in. I want you to go to protectanddefend.com and look at their coverage that starts for only $13 a month. What they do is they give you 100% upfront coverage for criminal defense, the civil suit, bail funding. They have 24/7 critical response team. They have local attorney coordination and so much more. So the minute you have fired the gun, God forbid that's happened to you or will happen to you, but if it does, you can rest assured somebody is going to be on your side and saying, okay, here in your town, in your state, here's what you have to do. And they help you. It will destroy your life if you don't have this insurance. We have fire insurance and hope we never use it. This is a different kind of insurance, and it's $13 a month. Activate your membership today at protectanddefend.com. You'll also be entered to win a brand new gun of your choice. Protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, I don't know what is wrong with people, honestly. You know, life is pretty easy. People are complex. Joel Osteen and his church are now in this controversy that is really, truly not a controversy. They're saying that Lakewood has closed its doors and they weren't going to help. And look how big his house is and he wouldn't help. That is not the truth at all. At all. Lakewood does not have showers. They don't have all the kitchens. They don't have everything that a big, you know, shelter would have. They don't. They're not made to be a shelter. It is the Compact Center. But the Compact Center also has, and Pat, verify this if you know, has a history of flooding. When the Rockets were playing there, when Allison came through, the court was 4 feet underwater. Now they have they have storm walls, but those storm walls are 1 foot at this point, a foot from being overtaken. So if you look at pictures in some of the lower areas, and there's already water. Now you can get people to the second floor, and everything's going to be fine. And they've set up air mattresses and everything else. But the convention center is the place that the city and the state has said, go to the convention center. We'll
the George
hold it
R.
Here.
Brown Center is massive.
Right.
Why would you not do it there?
Correct. And they are doing it there. And while Joel's people were on the phone with the city, they were coordinating and saying, okay, how are you doing on people? Mm-hmm. We are prepared to take some. Just know our capabilities. We don't have showers. This is not a long-term place. This is not a place where people can just live for a while, but we can get them out of danger. But we also have the problem of flooding. We're about a foot away from the bottom level being flooded. As they're saying this, and the convention center and the city are saying, don't worry about it. We'll just keep you as a secondary shelter. We don't have need for you at this time. People go online and they start ripping Joel and his family and his church
apart.
It's
really awful.
It's awful.
It's really awful.
And people, don't you have anything else better to do? Why don't you look for positive things that you can do instead of constantly searching for the negative everywhere?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Hello and welcome to the program. We have some actually really good things to report today because I think America is focused on the things that actually matter and actually are reflective of who we are. And that is Americans. When times get tough, we stand up. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And if your media source is not showing you that and concentrating on that, it's time you find a new media source. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Where were you when we gathered on the mall on 8/28? The anniversary was yesterday. When we got together to restore honor, when we stood shoulder to shoulder and swore to each other we would be better than we thought we could be, that we would rise above the petty politics and be more like the giants of our common heritage. Where were you when, if you remember right, Al Sharpton and the Black Panthers marched directly into that crowd on the mall? They were trying to get us to lash out, and we showed them love and peace, and they didn't know how to respond. They just left. Darkness doesn't understand the light. That's what's happening. This is who we all, we left there with the mall being cleaner than what we when we found it. And when For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about 8/28 when we went to restore honor on the mall, not the mall where you're buying clothes, but the mall in Washington, D.C., at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. This is really who we are, and we're seeing it in this hurricane right now. It's what America has always wanted to be, a light unto the world, a beacon, a shining city on the hill. You know, this weekend I was looking at some old pictures of where we've been since then. We went to 828 and we were in Washington, D.C., restoring honor. Then the next year we went to Jerusalem on 826 and we decided that we were going to restore courage to ourselves, all building to what are the fundamental building blocks that will make us stand when the winds finally come. The year after that, I think on 824, I can't remember the exact date, we went to Dallas Cowboys Stadium and we did Restoring Love. And then in Birmingham, again on 828, we restored unity. And all of these were ahead of their time. When we were in Birmingham just 2 years ago, thousands of us marched on the same streets that the giants like Martin Luther King walked during the Civil Rights March. And I'll never forget, so many people around me said, Glenn, why are we doing this? Why are we signing the Martin Luther King pledge? And I said, because a storm is coming. Because there's going to come a time when we're going to need this discipline. And we took his pledge. I have it. I have it signed by about 30,000 people that were there. We renewed our vow on the Mall in Washington, D.C. And on that day, we began to chart a course for standing for the weakest among us, those targeted for slavery and execution in the Middle East. Yesterday was the anniversary of that two-year goal. And if you remember right, that two-year goal started out small. I think we wanted to save 100 families. I want to take just a minute here and look back on what happened just by a group of people gathering together in Birmingham and saying, I want to help.
There are few places on earth where Christianity is as old as it is in Iraq. Christians there trace their history to the first century apostles. But today, their existence has been threatened by the terrorist group that calls itself Islamic State.
The place where my father works was so dangerous. So we have to move because ISIS take our houses and our village.
More than 125,000 Christians, men, women, and children, have been forced from their homes over the past year.
Daesh is responsible for genocide against groups.
The latest ISIS video delivered a direct threat to Christians in the Middle East.
You will not have safety, even in your dreams, until you embrace Islam.
Then militants carried out what appears to be a mass execution, shooting some captives and beheading others.
Tens of thousands of Christians are now fleeing for their lives.
The largest Christian city now seized by ISIS militants.
Attacks on Christians by radical Muslims are spreading.
If the world doesn't do anything, Christians will not exist in the Middle East. They will be liquidated.
Enough is enough.
I give you my word, we will raise $1 million to help you and get these people out. Let's raise $1 million. We have raised $1 million. Let's see if we can raise another $1 million here in the next couple of weeks and see if we can get 80 families.
Breaking news. Tell us where you just got back from, what you just did.
I just got back from Iraq. I was in Iraq, Slovakia, and Sweden, and we are trying to bring Iraqi Christians out of the Middle East with something called the Nazarene Fund. We've raised $12 million to do it.
Just about a year ago, we're not even at the year mark of starting the Nazarene Fund, and I said, in the next year, we want to save 400 families. And even with all of the trouble that we have had, we have moved to safety 553 families.
Families, not wow. People.
Families.
Wow, that's families. Great.
We have moved or fed 11,455.
What I think is interesting is you've gone over, you went over there, you took matters into your own hands, you didn't wait for government, you got private donations, you swooped in.
I represent about 120,000 people in America that have literally saved their pennies and dollars, sold their rings to be able to pay for your trip out tomorrow.
Thank you forever. Great thanks to you if you help this family to go to the safe place. God bless you.
I want to tell the Americans that they helped save our lives, and I'm very grateful.
Thanks for everyone who works on this, because they know that we need help. So thank you so much.
All of the hard-earned money that you gave, all of the prayers that you said lifted up to God for these people, nothing was wasted.
And this is not easy for us, but I believe our people, they are not going to forget who stand with us, such as you.
2 years of life-saving work has changed the course of history. Since first announced on August 28, 2015, Mercury One has raised $17.5 million. We've delivered emergency humanitarian aid, including food, water, blankets, hygiene kits, to 35,000 people. We have housed 5,462 people. We've closed down 4 Christian and Yazidi refugee camps and moved them to safe locations. 7,602 Christian and Yazidi conflict refugees have now been screened, processed, transported, and resettled in new host countries like Australia, Canada, Slovakia, Brazil, France, and one in the United States, with an additional 1,700 pending evacuations. All of this has happened because of you. People are alive. They're free. They're able to serve their God openly and safely because of you. But know this, our mission has just started. The week of September 17th, 2017, Mercury One will announce a new phase of this mission, one that is even bolder and more miraculous than what you have helped already accomplish. Join us. Join us in changing the world. Get involved. Save a life. And make a difference. MercuryOne.org/the Nazarene Fund.
Thank you. You make such a difference in the world. You have no idea what you've done. And as I just said in that, coming in 2 weeks, I'm going to announce something that is breathtaking. Because the need is breathtaking. Today, Mercury One is in Houston. And the need there is breathtaking. But the good news is, Americans are still Americans. No matter what we've been through in the last 2 years, no matter what we've thought about each other over the last 2 years, last 5 years, last 10 years, last 2 weeks, all of it is a lie. All of it is a lie. Look at who we're choosing to be today as people here in America are in need. Please get involved. You can go to mercuryone.org. If you trust us with the money to put it to whatever the needs are, just donate it to the regular general fund. If you want to make sure that every dollar goes to the Nazarene Fund, just make sure you just click on the Nazarene Fund. If you want it just for the rescue in Houston, just click on that. We promise you every dollar goes to the programs. It goes to the people. Every dollar that we're raising right now for the rescue relief, I told you last hour where they go. We're already on the food on the front line. In fact, the organization that we are helping fund is going to be the main source of food for 25,000 people at the convention center. And that's coming from you and Mercury One. And there's no skim off the top for Mercury One. That's been my promise to you, because I know how I feel when somebody asks me for money. Yeah, but what are you really doing with the money? There's no skim off the top for us. If you go to the disaster relief, it will go to those projects, period. Not a dime comes to us. have to be able to trust one another. We have to be able to do the right thing and not be trapped in a whole bunch of lies that makes us want to close our hearts. Go to mercuryone.org right now, mercuryone.org. More in just a second. Our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. A discussion of Europeans, the quantitative easing has been pushed to next month. They were just meeting at the Jackson Hole Economics Policy Symposium. That was over the weekend, and the head of the European Central Bank said, we're going to talk about that a little later. Why? Why? Because they are full speed ahead into uncharted, unknown waters right now, and they don't know what happens if they turn the boats around. That's why. And we are headed for, did you see that North Korea just launched another missile? This time they launched it over Japan. Trump said this morning, we haven't decided, but we will be responding to that. That this is, the world is on the edge. And we can either sit here and worry about it, or we can prepare. And then when it happens, we'll do what we're doing in Houston right now. Stand together and help each other out. But somebody has to have something that is worth something in the end. Please call Goldline and find out about the price protection program that they have going on right now. There's nobody else that does this. Imagine if I said to you, hey, you could buy this stock, and if it's not worth the amount that I said to you that you paid a year ago, if it goes down, I'll replace it with more stock. You'd go, yeah, well, good, more paper. No. I'm not talking about stock. I'm now talking about gold. Gold never goes to zero. So if the price of gold goes down over the next year, they'll make it up with more gold. It never goes to zero. Nobody does that. Goldline does. They know the trouble the world is in, and they know what your fears are, and they have confidence in treating people right. Means that they'll be in business for a very, very long time, and we can save the nation. Call Goldline now and find out if it's right for you. Read their important risk information. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
We are in the middle of a huge disaster in America, and people are struggling and people are hurting. Millions of people are praying for their fellow Americans, even though some of them are not exactly, quote, the praying type. I'm seeing people that are praying. If we who want a small government want our government to do less, then that means we have to do more. And if you don't mind the government doing most, if not all, of the work, you know, cool, I don't agree with you. But instead of arguing, what do you say? You still get involved. Even if it's just prayer or, you know, meditation or, you know, finding something that we're going to go save the animals. And I'm not joking about that. I mean, get involved in the thing that inspires you. Believe it or not, it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel better about yourself, and it's going to make you feel much better about America. And I think we all need a little medicine for our hearts right now. We've been given a great opportunity to heal our hearts right now and to see each other for who we are. Because we are all Americans. We're all the same. We really are. No matter who we vote for, 90% of us want to do good. 90% of us want to help. 90% of us don't like hating our neighbor. And with or without Donald Trump, with or without Hillary Clinton, with or without any of these people, here's the chance to make America great again. By making America what has always made it great, is it was good. Let's make America good again. Let's make America kind again. And our goodness and our kindness is happening in spite of our politicians and our political parties. During Sandy, I remember we raised millions of dollars to help with Hurricane Sandy. And in fact, Mercury One, I believe, was one of the first on the ground for Hurricane Sandy. And we helped white churches, we helped black churches, small businessmen, we helped union labor shops. I remember we helped the police get back on their feet. And this police union, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but this group of people actually, they had a thing where they were trying to get me fired from my job. And I didn't know this, and they didn't know who we were until after we had presented them with checks and they had done their homework on who Mercury One was. And they were like, Glenn Beck, we're shocked that it was from you. And we have to tell our members. And I said, no, you don't need to tell your members. This isn't from me. This is from the American people. And we're not picking and choosing who we're helping. We're just helping those people who are hurting. You happen to be one of them. We went up and we had this truck and our people left. And we were in front of this church, and it was a black church. And we were unloading the food and we had gone in. And some Occupy Wall Street people came and actually hung Occupy Wall Street banners on the truck and were taking video, making it look like they were offloading all of this food. Somebody on my team came out and they were really upset and said, relax. We didn't have to say anything because the church that would have fallen prey to Occupy Wall Street, I think, because if they would have offered anything, they were so embarrassed by, quote, their side. It wasn't their side. That's not their side. That's not who they were. But that's who the media and everybody else would have deemed their side. They were so embarrassed by those people. They shooed them away, took the banners down, and then went on local television that night and made sure that everybody knew that it was Mercury One that did this. If we just go in and we serve, not for the credit, not for anything, but just because we love people, it's amazing how hearts change. That is where we are today in Texas. Revel in that. Renew your heart and get involved. Mercury1.org.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So what's happening with Joel Osteen in Houston is really despicable. And you know what? We just have to reject all of this stuff. I got onto Facebook, I think it was on Saturday, and we were talking about the different things that are going on. And people started saying,
oh, that's because of Donald Trump. That's because of...
I know I'm not alone. Is anybody else like, what, do you have anything else to do with your time?
Yeah.
Do you realize how much trouble the country is in? Do you realize people are actually fighting for their life to survive today? And I was watching the press over the weekend and they were making it all about Donald Trump's tweets. Shut the hell up. Shut up. The people who were making it about all of the Eastern press that was, you know, Ted Cruz wanted to not give any funding for Sandy. First of all, not true. Not true. You're reading your own headlines and buying your own crap. That's not what that was. That was Pork Central. But I read that and I thought, are you kidding me? You can't wait until, I don't know, until the waters subside? You can't wait until people are actually into safety? We're making this about politics now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only game in town now, is making everything into politics. Every tragedy that strikes, the first knee-jerk reaction is to, you know, blame it on somebody politically.
But doesn't it feel good that at least here in Texas, I don't know what it feels like in the rest of the country, but at least here in Texas, that's not going on. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting your voter ID card out.
And nobody's saying, hey, I know you're in distress and you need some help, but are you black or white?
Nobody's doing that.
That does not occur.
That, does, and you that notice, doesn't happen.
You notice that Houston, isn't Houston the most diverse city in the country?
I think it is.
Irving is the most diverse,
but I think it's...
I think Houston is the largest in diversity. White isn't even the main portion of the population now in Houston, is it?
I hate white people. Every iota of a cracker, I hate.
Anyway, that's how I feel. But you notice you're not seeing any race strife.
No, I mean you're getting the typical people doing the typical things with politics.
But that's the typical people,
right? Like there is a story today. You want to know what climate change looks like? Hurricane Harvey. So we're clear. Climate change looks like the last 2 days, not the last 12 years, where there was no major hurricanes that hit. Yeah. It's the last 2 days is what climate change looks like. But the 12
Asinine.
Years of no storms hitting America that were major hurricanes,
see,
that is not what it looks like.
It just could be me, but I don't think anyone is paying attention to any of that stuff anymore.
I hope that's true.
I mean, do you know anybody who is... I mean, the people that are all up in arms and are making this political one way or another, do you know any of your friends who are actually listening or talking to those people? Because I don't. I don't know anybody. Now, it may be different because we're in Texas. Everyone I know is so taken by the spirit of the people that are involved.
Look, we're going to get there.
Oh, yeah, we are.
The country and Texas is going to get there. This will turn into politics.
Oh, yeah, it will.
So far, at least my impression is, only the real crazies have gone to that route so far. It's too soon. It's still going on. There's still rain falling.
Yeah. No, I mean, we did it after September 11th. We were good for a while, and then we went back to where we were. And that's going to happen. But why not take the moment to heal our heart? Why not take the moment to actually look and say, look at the vast majority of people. Look at what's happening. Is it just me that this actually gives hope? It's actually like, okay, if we're really... Because just 3 weeks ago, I was like, I don't know if I said this on the air, but I've been saying, I don't know what happens to us anymore. I don't know who we are. I don't know if a giant economic disaster hits. I don't know if we burn our cities down to the ground and we become... animals towards each other. I don't know. Well, look at this. Look at what's happening. We haven't changed. The fundamental transformation of America may have changed, may have happened, but the fundamental transformation of Americans has not yet. That's all you need are Americans. If you have that American can do, I'm going to do it. I'm there to help. I'm going to help my neighbor. I don't care what color they are. I don't care anything about how they voted. I'm just going to go there and help. As long as that remains intact, we make it.
It's all the world has had for a long time. I mean, we've had a couple hundred years of America being really the only hope and dragging the rest of the world in the right direction.
You know, I was down in Mexico, and they have this weird thing culturally, and I have not figured it out yet. And so I hesitate to say this because I don't want to besmirch the people of Mexico, because I don't think it's Mexico. And I don't even think it's all Latin America. I think it is it's parts of the world that do not have a more enlightened view of women. And there is something in Latin America that it's still okay, like it kind of was here in America 30, 40 years ago, to drool over that 15-year-old girl and to...
Well, I mean, we always make fun of, like, there's songs in the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
Sexy and 17, and she, you know, like, there's all these, like, 16 and 17-year-old songs. You're like, you shouldn't have sang that out loud. You realize that, right?
Yeah. Even, you know, you listen to George Michael and Father Figure. I will be your father figure. Okay, that's creepy. That's really creepy, okay?
Yes.
So as we're dealing with all these sex slaves down in Latin America, I've seen that in the culture, at least part of the culture, and it's hard because I'm only in this darker part of the culture, but these young 12-year-olds are used as sex slaves because that's where the demand is. Yes. Now, it's happening here as well, but you don't see here, you know, I think we kind of stopped this with, who was it, Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis Presley. Okay, yeah, she's a little young. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's good. There are parts still in the world that still look at 12-year-olds and go, yeah, you know, you can have her. You can marry her, whatever. We're not like that. And it amazes me that we're the ones truly under attack, that America is the one that's made to look like the big predator animal when we're better than most of the rest of the world. We're a lot better. And that's happening in almost every category. And the reason why they can sell it to us is because we don't see it. We're so isolated. It's been a great protector to be this isolated, but it's also killing us right now. We're so isolated when we don't know what the rest of the world is like. We can start just tearing ourselves down because we don't have anything to compare to and say, I'm glad we're not that. Yeah, we got our problems, but we're not that. We don't do that. Our institutions now are built to say, yeah, forget about that. Look at what you are. We'd never do that to our children. We'd never do that to anything that we love. We'd never, no psychiatric care. They would go to jail if they were bringing their you know, patients in and saying, yeah, well, you just look at you, and I'm not going to tell you about, you know, how good you actually have it and give you some perspective on, you know, X, Y, and Z and show you the mass of the population. What I'm really just going to do is say, you're really bad. If you notice, I'm going to play into everything that you think about yourself. Instead of giving you a fresh perspective and showing you, hey, yeah, you got some problems, but I want you to put it into perspective. Instead of doing that, imagine a psychiatrist saying, yeah, forget about all of that. You know what? You are bad. In fact, you might be worse than you think. Those people would be in jail.
Look, I'd like to talk you out of this, but the evidence shows you really are a crap heap.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Look at what's happening, and we're allowing it to happen. Don't. It stops having power over you the minute you recognize the game. The minute you recognize, oh my gosh, I see what you're doing. Huh. I get it. That's the greatest thing, because I grew up in a home full of abuse, and I've seen it my whole life. I can recognize an abuser a million miles away. A million miles away. And when you are, just the subtle things that you would say to your spouse or to your girlfriend or whatever, I've seen this movie before, dude. I know who you are. And once you know it, you're not afraid of it, and you call it out every time. Oh, yeah, I know who you are. Yeah, get out. And that's what we need to say mentally to all of these things, that right now you have a choice. Your media source can either focus right now on tearing everything down and tearing all the American stuff down, or use this time to tear the other side down, or it can just tell the truth. Look what's happening. This one really counts. This one kind of doesn't. This one is real strife, real problems, real rescue. This one seems to just be politically motivated. Huh. I think we should spend our time on this one and not on the politically motivated one. We have to get our arms around that. And right now, recharge your batteries. Recharge everything that you have felt worried about when it comes to America. Recharge them. Fill yourself with all of the good things that are going on. Read story after story after story of the heroes. We have them at glennbeck.com. We'll have a facebook.com/glennbeck. We'll have it at theblaze.com. Fill yourself with the good stuff of what's happening in America.
And there's no shortage of them right
now. None.
I mean, it's incredible. If you're looking for those stories, you can find hundreds of them. It's great. And we've done a bunch of them already. We did a bunch yesterday, and we should continue to do it this week, because you're right. People need to understand. You know, you lose sight very easily that people can actually be decent human beings. That's a sad statement, but it's
And there's always going to be dirtbags. Look, if they're not already, and Jason, who is down for my company, is down in Houston right now, and hopefully we'll have him on in about 15 minutes. He's out on the boats with Team Rubicon, a group that Mercury One is helping sponsor and keep, you know, the fuel and everything that they're needing to be able to go rescue people. He's out on the rescue boats with him today. And, you know, he was saying earlier today, you know, what's amazing is how crowded the highways are going into Houston, and everyone has a boat in tow. It's just all these people who are just coming from all over just to help. That's what Tanya and I saw after 9/11. When I went up and I was allowed to go in to see the World Trade Center site about 5 or 6 days after it had come down, and it was just Tanya and I, we went in, and what we witnessed were like barbecue places and food kitchens that were on wheels, and you know, people who were, you know, doing massage work and everything else, that were all over, from all over the country, that had just seen the towers go down, and they got into their car or their truck or their van, and they just drove to New York. And they were like, I can help. I know what's coming, and I can help. And it, and nobody was paid. Nobody organized it. Just people did it. Celebrate that. That's who we are. Now this, one of the things you don't need to worry about in your life is your mortgage payment. American Financing. Don't get involved in a mortgage payment that is wrong for you. American Financing, dedicated to helping you make smart mortgage decisions that align with your unique financial goals. When you go in and the bank sells you a mortgage, they don't give you a mortgage, they sell you a mortgage. They're pushing a product just like as much as a car dealership. It just doesn't feel as slimy as a car dealership, but it is the same thing, just a different approach. And they're trying to sell you the thing that makes them the most amount of money. We don't think about it that way when we go to get a mortgage. We just trust that the banks are, no, don't. Why? It's a business, just like anything else. American Financing, they have salaried financial advisors. So these are people that are not getting a cut of whatever it is you buy. You get straightforward and an effortless mortgage experience. Right now, they're doing reverse mortgages as well. They're a good way to increase monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment while still retaining the ownership of your home. Call this number now, 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
A couple of updates. We have just been alerted that the levee at Columbia Lakes has been breached. That's in Brazoria County. And they're saying, get out now. This is still going to get worse here in Houston. Yesterday, through a member of the Blaze, Mercury One learned of the Lighthouse Charity Team. This is a group serving people on Galveston Island towards the south side of Houston. There is no way now to get from Houston to Galveston. The roads are all closed, as well as all of the ports. Last night alone, the area got 11 inches of rain in 4 hours. Water is still several feet higher this morning than it was over the weekend and yesterday.
Hasn't peaked yet.
It has not. All of Friendswood now is flooded in, not passable even with military equipment. Medical patients are unable to get to the hospital. Lighthouse Charity Team will continue to provide community support through the meals as long as needed. They're serving right now 1,500 meals, but they need your help. Mercury One is supporting them. Please go to mercuryone.org and donate now. mercuryone.org. Back in a minute.
Program. Mercury.
All right. We have a lot going on in Houston with the floodwaters. Things are going to get worse before they get better. The response has been really, truly tremendous. Even the people who are trying to make this about politics and saying, you know, well, they should have gotten those people out of there. Well, maybe they should have gotten those people out of there. However, as Pat knows, because he sat through the last hurricane that came in through Houston, he decided to stay in his home. Others went and people died on the highways. It was awful. And that was nothing like it is now with the cars being 2-3 feet underwater. Imagine what would have happened if millions of people were trapped on the roads in Houston.
Catastrophe.
We're going to get an update on all of this and show how you can get involved and help. Admiring the solution instead of the problem right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I want to give you a choice, and this is what you should be saying to your friends all the time. Anybody who is on Facebook, who is trying to make this about politics or anything else, just ask them kindly, how about we just drop all this right now and we all come together and work to help one another? Plenty of time for blame later. But the guy from the Young Turks, what's his name, said, horrified at the human toll, but not sad about the billions of damage to the oil industry. U.S. taxpayers should...
Gosh, what a moron.
I know. U.S. taxpayers should help people of Houston in light of this tragedy, but not one dime to the oil companies that helped cause it in the first place. First of all, I remember I'm not a meteorologist or a climate specialist, but neither are you. Hurricanes have been happening like this forever. Look up the hurricane of Galveston 1900. Was that because of the oil companies? This is what happens. The second thing is, when you are paying a really high price at the gas pump because of this hurricane, then tell me how you are helping the little people. We have this hurricane is not only the cost of human life, but it is also the cost of rebuilding the biggest port. Is Los Angeles the biggest port, or is Houston the biggest port?
I think Houston's third.
Third, okay.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ports. Houston also is one of the main shipping, stations in the country. This is, a lot of the trains come from Los Angeles, or they'll come from Miami, and they will be shipped to Houston. And then the trains switch in Houston. So it is a major, major area of import and distribution for the country. Not just the oil refineries, which are plentiful. When we're paying a lot more for a gallon of gasoline that helps you get to work, when you're paying a lot more for some of the things that used to come in through the port of Houston, it's because of this hurricane. This is going to hurt all of us. All of us are going to be hurt by this in a way that could be, you know, a trigger point. If we're not careful, it could be a trigger point for an economic disaster. Let's be careful what we hope for and root for.
According to this, 6 of the top 10 ports are between Louisiana and Texas. Louisiana has 3, Texas has 3 in the top 10. That's a lot of shipping.
Yeah, and it's, the left seems so hate-filled right now, and I know there's some on the right too, but the left seems so hate-filled that they're willing to hurt millions and millions of people for their political agenda. Same thing with Bill Maher wishing for the stock market to collapse. I mean, how many people would that affect?
How many? How many? How many people who are retired?
Yeah.
Will that affect? I mean, the ramifications of just this. Remember, I was saying in 2007 and 8, look for a sustained oil price of $140 per barrel, and you will have the collapse of the housing market. As it turned out, it was a sustained price of $130 a barrel. I was wrong. It was even more fragile than I thought it was. And that's what triggered the collapse of the housing market. It's a house of cards. You don't want things to go up in price if you actually care about the country and people.
Yeah, but on the other side, he would improve his argument.
Okay, yes, okay,
good. So if you didn't really consider that part of it, so that was
and
pretty good.
If you want to consider that he's improving his argument by lies.
Well, yeah, he'd be lying, sure, but he'd be able to say that on his show. And you know what would happen? People in his audience would cheer loudly for him when he made that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be done. Yeah,
then he gets a hit of dopamine, which
that would be kind of cool.
Always a plus.
Yes.
That's
always
great.
Always a plus.
Will you do me a favor and go to mercury1.org, mercury1.org, and please donate. And I want to tell you the things that we are doing right now. We are doing Operation Barbecue. That is still staged in Spring, Texas. I-45 was closed down yesterday. They are moving to the convention center today. They are going to be cooking lunch and dinner by Wednesday at the convention center. They're ramping up to serve 25,000 meals a day by Friday at the shelter, as well as serving all of the first responders. They're also supporting the U.S. Coast Guard. They need your help, and you can help by going to mercury1.org. This is one of our first relief responders, and we would really like your help, mercury1.org. Team Rubicon, we are still waiting for one of our guys to call in. It has been crazy this morning, but he is out with Team Rubicon, and they are putting the boats in the water. And they're going out to rescue. His description earlier today on the program of what the waterways or the streets are like, he said you can almost walk from boat to boat, step into other people's boats, and they're all private, and everybody is just coming from all over the Southwest with their boats to help rescue people. As we said, another levee just broke in Houston, and they are saying, get out of this area. Galveston, people are trapped. There was 11 inches of rain. How many more are they expecting when the thing comes back and turns around, Pat?
They were expecting all told up to 50 inches. And so I don't know how many more that is. They were already at 30 in a lot of locations.
Some other locations were even at 40.
Yeah, I think a preliminary report from One Texas Rain Gauge has broken the Texas tropical cyclone rainfall record. Southeast of Houston, Mary's Creek reported 49.32 inches as of 9 a.m. Central.
You know what the annual rainfall total for Houston is? 49 inches.
They got it in one weekend.
They got it in one weekend, 2 or 3 days.
The previous record was 1978.
Wow.
Which was what?
48 inches.
And it's not done yet.
It's not done yet, yeah. I mean, this morning I saw a report that said there's still 15 inches coming to Galveston.
Good heavens.
15 inches is a really bad storm by itself. You're at 40, 45, 49 inches, and you're getting another 15 potentially. I mean,
How is this? Seriously, what? I mean, nobody is. I mean, are people. Do you see the picture of the people in the nursing home? I thought that had to be fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't, was it?
No, they did rescue them, though, right, Jeff?
Yeah, they had already been rescued, and I believe that we have a story up at glenbeck.com with the blaze that showed them all being rescued and dried. Yeah. So, I mean,
I saw that, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean,
that was more of a shock because that's how fast it happens.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't so much like, look at they're leaving these nursing home people in the water.
It just
all of a sudden it starts to flood, and you're up 5 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's frightening.
We have one of the things that Mercury One right now is doing is Provisions Project. providing funding to the search and rescue partners in Houston. We're working with Provisions Project. We're providing the fuel and the equipment and the meals. They have over 100 volunteers and 40 boats that are just trying to work with the local emergency officials and the sheriff's offices of the hardest hit areas because, you know, they got these boats. Where are they getting gas? So we're bringing the fuel in to them through the Provisions Project and trying to get that done. There is also this one here, the Lighthouse Charity that we just found out about yesterday. Almost 11 inches in 4 hours last night. The water is already several feet higher than it was over the weekend. Friendswood is now flooded. This is in Galveston. And the Lighthouse Charity team is providing community support through meals as long as they possibly can. They're right now serving 1,500 meals a day just in Friendswood. Their operations of the Galveston facility is trying to support the needs of Galveston County. But again, as Stu said, they're expecting another 15 inches. There's no way out of Galveston now. Even with military equipment, there is no way out of Galveston. All the roads are closed. Everything is flooded. You're stuck. And there are people that need help. The last thing we can do is choke down the funds. When we need when they need it, they need it now. We've already, one of our charities for Mercury One has, I think, 6 tractor trailers that are parked right outside of the floodwaters, just waiting for the first opportunity to be able to be flagged in. But it's full of water. That's one of the things that's going to be really big problem is water. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, the sewage and everything, this is how people die fast, is through no clean water and all of that water. Imagine, because Houston is a bad place for mold as it is. Imagine the illness that is coming from mold.
This flood water is so unhealthy, so dangerous. You don't even want to walk through it,
right? And that's
let alone drink it.
That's one of the things that they're concerned about. Again, is the skin illnesses from the people who are walking in it. I mean,
don't want to be swimming in it. You don't want to be walking in it.
I mean, that's things that happen, you know, post recovery.
Yeah, that's the 9/11 first responders with the lung disease that's going on. I mean, you don't think about it when you're out there helping, but that's the kind of stuff that is coming. This is a long way from being over. This is another Katrina. This is really, really good. Do we have a death toll? Because I'm like shocked that the death toll isn't gigantic.
It could possibly rise when the floodwaters subside, and then
we know
they
where
find
everybody
people.
Is.
Yeah, because yeah, I think the last I heard was five.
Yeah, more than
that's crazy. How many millions of people? 14. How many millions of people live in Houston?
Almost 7 million.
Seven million.
Have a big unaccounted for list.
What?
Either. Yeah, an unaccounted for list.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think we have a big list of that. I mean, obviously, it could get bad.
I mean, I don't even know. Are the cell towers still working? I mean, how would you charge your phone? Yeah. You know, if your floodwaters came in, you're not charging your phone.
Right.
So we don't know how many are unaccounted for yet, but so far it is miraculous on what is happening. Just miraculous.
Of course, Katrina, after that storm initially passed, felt the same way. There was time where it was like, it was bad, but it's going to be okay. And then, of course, the levees broke. And it got really ugly.
Well, the levees are breaking today in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always happen that first day, and it's not always the wind, right? And here's going to be the flooding. They think that after they go and do searches, once the water recedes, they could find much bigger numbers. Though I don't think we're going to see anything like Katrina and death.
Stu or Pat, look up last big heat wave in Europe.
Yeah,
I mean, heat wave.
2000s, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were hundreds of people. Yeah, just in France, hundreds of people just from heat. I mean, this is, heat is really bad, especially in Europe where you don't have a lot of air conditioning and everything else. But my gosh, it's not this.
No. No, oh, no. In 2003 it was, and it was at least 1,540.
Wow.
In just France.
In just France.
European heat wave caused 35,000 deaths.
I mean, incredible.
According to a NewScience.com article.
Now, that's crazy.
35,000.
For heat?
Yeah.
This is a town of 7 million, and that's not including all the other towns from Corpus Christi. People don't have any idea how big the state of Texas is. They have no
concept. And these cities.
Concept. Jeez. Yeah, you have no concept of how big this state is and these cities. They go on and on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, we are, what, 5 hours away driving from here to Houston?
About four, probably. Yeah,
yeah, four, mm-hmm. about 4 hours from here to Houston.
Three with Pat.
And we and we're close. We're close. It takes you from Brownsville, Texas, which is in the southern border, to Texarkana, Texas, which is at the top of the border. It takes you as long to drive there as it does from Texarkana, Texas to Chicago. That's how big this state is. And the entire Gulf, it's as if everything from San Diego to Portland had this rainstorm hitting.
Yeah.
It's enormous. Enormous.
France, 14,802 heat-related deaths. Mostly
just from France.
Elderly, just in France.
Yeah.
It's funny because we got, I don't know if you had the same thing, but we came from the Northeast. I grew up in New York and Connecticut, mm-hmm. where states are like, it takes 45 minutes to get through
yeah.
your state.
Yeah.
You know, I got calls from family all over the place. I see this, you know, hurricane coming in. Are you guys okay? Is it? Well, actually, no, it was a little cloudy for a short time.
Yeah.
After that, it's been pretty much nothing.
I think it was Sunday that we actually got some rain and we got one of the bands. And I thought, think of the enormity of this storm. We're 4 hours away. We're four hours away and we're getting it inland, 4 hours inland. And we're still getting it. Our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Simply Safe Home Security. They're having a huge summer sale right now, and it ends, I believe, yes, this Labor Day, this weekend, it ends. Simply Safe Home Security. Get $100 off the summer package. It has everything you need to protect your home, an arsenal of security sensors. It protects your doors, your windows, everything you need. Wireless connection to authorities and police dispatch. Plus, there's no long-term contract, no installation cost, no hidden fees, nobody that's going to come in and try to upsell you on things that will make you chew your arm off just to be free of them. Those days are over. You design the package, or you can buy the package that they have right now. It's an unbelievable price, $100 off if you just go to simplysafebeck.com. You have to do this, though, before Labor Day. It's simplysafebeck.com, simplysafebeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
So if we may, have an intellectual conversation about something that we are all really torn on, except for Stu. Stu is just a pure capitalist, screw them all. Let them eat each other.
Not accurate in any way.
I know.
It's a godless animal.
Yeah, totally right? godless
animal. None of this is.
Hates people.
Yeah, hates people. Man. Wants your children to die. But there's a price gouging thing that's going on here in Texas with water and gas and everything else. And I'm really torn on this because, I mean, you know, water is water. You got to have water. It's life-saving.
And they're charging $99 for a case of water.
Okay, that's kind of a problem.
That's a lot.
What's a case of water? 24? So let's say you're what, at $4 a bottle of water? I pay that at every freaking baseball game I go to. Every game I go to is $4 water is a very reasonable price.
Absolutely.
For water.
You're lucky.
That's
to
not
pay
even
four.
Price gouging.
It's usually
that
five.
Is event pricing. That is legitimately event pricing.
And
if I go to a movie, I'm paying $4 for a bottle of water.
And you know what? That is actually what this is, too. This is an event. Just a bad event.
It's a bad event. It is.
Okay, but I still have a problem. You know, but
what about rooms? Okay, a hotel room going from $120 a night to $321.89.
No problem.
It's a Western.
No problem with that.
It's not even a hotel, it's a motel.
I have no problem with that.
Don't look down on Best Western.
There's an extreme scarcity and demand increase.
Yeah.
Gas at $10 a gallon. When you can't get gas, you're going to pay $10 a gallon.
Right, and here's the thing. Yes, should you have gas, but once that gas station runs out,
They're not getting any more.
How are you going to get the trucks to come in? You need you need some mercenaries to come in and to refill some things. You need some truckers who are incentivized to come in and say, I'll get that water there. I'll get that gas there. I mean, there's this balance between humanity and the truth about our better angels that capitalism needs to walk.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Starting today through Friday, we are going to be setting up shop outside of the front of our building. Here in Dallas, Texas, we have a whole bunch of people who are headed down to Houston this weekend. And we're asking that, you know, you can stop by here and drop off anything that you have. It's a donation drop-off. We're looking for baby formula, diapers, wipes, diaper rash cream, hand sanitizer, Neosporin, new packaged socks, new packaged underwear, feminine products, reusable water bottles, comfort kits, soap, shampoo, toothpaste, blankets. Please do not bring clothes at this point. We just need those things. If you would like to drop them off, if you happen to be here, our partners at Mercury One are going to be in and out of Houston for quite a bit. There's a tent right outside the door. Sorry, we don't have the staff to do tours or anything else. You're just going to have to just drop it up at the front door. And we will make sure that it gets there. Also, Mercury One really could use your help. And it would be of great help if you would donate to the general fund, because we play things very close to the edge on, you know, staffing and everything else. And this is going to be a gigantic drain. And we would really like to ask you for help at mercuryone.org, mercuryone.org. Donate now. We told you many times today the things that we are involved with. We are raising a ton of money for the people who are doing the main food service at the, not the Coliseum, but the arena. What do you call that place? The convention center.
Yeah, George R. Brown.
Yeah, just at the convention center. We've been parked off the side of the road. These Operation Barbecue guys are just amazing. They are truly amazing. And they're always the first in with food. And they are going to be doing the George R. Convention Center starting tomorrow. And that's 25,000 meals a day. And we sure could use your help at mercuryone.org. Please donate now. So we were just talking about the idea of price gouging. And, you know, as Stu pointed out, at $4 a $4 a bottle for water, that's what you're paying at the movie theater. That's what you're paying when you go to a football game. The question is, yeah, but that's not what you pay when you go to a grocery store. However, you go to the grocery store and they're empty. So once they're gone, they're gone. And who's going to get that? The problem with price gouging, the philosophy against it, is this. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you're better at this, Stu, than I am. Because this has been an axe of yours. You like to grind every once in a while.
I'm a fan of capitalism.
Right. But the problem is, capitalism solves so many problems because when there is a need, there is always someone who will come up with a way to get it to you. You know, it's like drugs. Why do you think the cartels are making so much money? Because there's no way to get that. Oh, I'll find a way. And they'll build the tunnels. They'll do whatever they have to, but they'll get that product to you. So the good thing about capitalism is if you're a good and decent moral society, capitalism provides people with the things that actually are life-saving and change their life, okay? The problem with price gouging is there's a lot of greedy people out there who are just like, I got a sucker born every minute. I'm going to make a killing off of that. But I don't think that's the average person that is doing this. You're looking at a gas station that can charge $10 a gallon right now, and that's because every other gas station is out. They have no gas. So if you go and buy their gas for, you know, whatever it is, and you're paying regular price, okay, that's fine.
But can that gas station take that money and go find a mercenary trucker that can go and find gas elsewhere and bring it in to that gas station? No, he's got to wait in line with everybody else.
This goes to, you know, Theodore Roosevelt, right? It matters not how you earn your money, but also how you spend it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the issue here is when price, if someone comes in and they are the evil price gouger, this comical character that I never find in real life. But let's just say that they come in there and they do that. If water costs $100 a case, you're not going to buy extra cases than you need. You know, you're going to do that. And look at the way the market solves these things. The perfect example right now, we know it in real life, is Uber. Mm-hmm. The left constantly complains that Uber turns on their surge pricing, even in times like snowstorms, when people need to find extra transportation, and they jack their rates up 2, 3, 4, 5 times the rates.
But it's
and
what
people
causes,
really need it.
This is what causes a driver to say, I'm going to take that risk in this snowstorm.
Mm-hmm. Ask your Uber driver next time when they're talking about surge pricing, they say, you know what? I could leave, or I could do 2 or 3 more runs right now. Well, I could do 2 or 3 more rides. And they stay on those, they stay driving. It's not because it's to serve Uber's needs. It's to serve those drivers. And those drivers say, you know what? I mean, I could go home right now, and it would be easier for me to go home right now. But I can, I can clean up on this one more ride. I'm going to do it.
It's combat duty. It is combat duty. Think of this. You're running a grocery store or a 7-Eleven, and you have people coming in, and they have no gas, no water, no food. You're sitting behind the counter. They have nothing. Your first instinct is to help, 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 help. Good. I just want you to know, out of all the people that are coming to your gas station, there are also going to be those who are coming that wish to do you harm. And you, by staying there and opening and having goods and services, and we've seen this in every disaster. People do it. Every single disaster. They start just breaking in and stealing what they want. You are staying there behind. You're risking your life. Why would you stay unless you're just Mother Teresa? And there's a lot of those
and
people.
And there are. Look at
there's
the,
a
yeah,
lot of those people.
A million examples of
right,
them.
Millions of them. But you're risking your life. Somebody should man the station. And to get people to do it, and not only just to man it, but also then to say, you know what? I've got a friend who's got a gas truck. I'm going to go up and I'm going to call my friend in Oklahoma or in Dallas and say, hey, listen, can I buy some of your gas at a dime over cost for you? You know, can I buy it I'll buy a whole truckload and I'll pay 25 cents more per gallon because you're not going to get your gas, right? So I'll give you a profit of 25% or 25 cents more per gallon, load it up on my truck and get it down to me. Why would anyone do that? Why would anyone do that? No one would do that unless I can charge more. Mm-hmm. I can pay the truck driver more for risking, you know, truck and life and limb. And that this guy in Dallas can make a profit too and sell that gas for more than he can sell it for at home, because all the oil refineries are shut down right now. There's going to be a gas shortage all throughout Texas.
Yeah, and I think when people talk about this, they always bring up this evil capitalist that just wants to rape the people in need. So first of all, most people are not like that. Even if you were charging $4 or $5 a bottle for water, if someone comes up to you and says, my daughter's here, she's thirsty, she needs water desperately, can you help? 99.9% chance they're going to get that water.
99.999997.
Exactly. Look at the pictures and the stories we're getting out of Houston right now. People are going to help if they all can. But the evil capitalist is always the interesting example here, because you're talking about a person who only cares about profit. The only reason they would be in the area at all is to make profit, right? That's this person. They don't care about people. They just want money, right? That is the example of how this is wrong. However, let's take and enforce this law to the extreme and the way that they want to do it. They just don't stay, or they leave, or they don't come. So now your supply is lower. There is less water in the area. There is less gas in the area. There are less needed supplies in the area because that person who you've told me only cares about money does not show up.
Well, look, here's the thing. Right now, one of the things, in fact, let me get the name of this organization. One of the partners that we have at Mercury One, the Provisions Project, okay? Provisions Project. This is a group that we're helping fund. What do? Right now, they have 100 volunteers, 40 boats, and they are coming in with your dollars. If you, go to mercuryone.org now and donate, your dollars, some of those dollars will go to buying fuel, putting it into, cans, putting it onto a truck, getting it to Houston, putting it onto a boat, getting it out to the sheriff's boats, putting that 5-gallon tank and filling his boat back up, going back, getting more. That's where some of your money is going.
Wow.
So think of the labor involved. Now, because this is charity, they're getting it for free, but we're still buying the gas elsewhere. So but they're getting it for free. But think of the labor to get that gas to those boats. You're not going to be able, you're there and you're on the side of the road in your car. Mercury One is not going to stop and give you one of those cans for your car. Sorry, it's got to go to the people who have the boats who are rescuing people right now who are in the floodwater. You're just on the side of the road and you're not in the flood. You're going to have to go find a gas station that has gas. How much would you pay for gas? You're going to pay it because you need it.
Yeah.
And it's rare.
Scarce. And you would limit your amount that you purchased if you could get it.
Right.
You wouldn't, if it was $10 a gallon or, $10 a case for a bottle of water, you're not going to load up the whole back of your truck with it because you're going to think, let me just get what I can take and need. And in a way, charity is the worst price gouge of all. You're going to donate to Mercury One and you know what you're going to get out of it? Nothing. These people in Houston are going to be the people benefiting from it. And you're doing that, and you're getting no return in value at all.
Yes, you are. I know you're arguing capitalism now, but
I don't think you're not personally getting. You might feel good. You might say, "Oh God, I helped somebody else." Great.
Yeah.
But I mean, your personal benefit is nothing. And you know what? People do it all the time. And you know what? 99% of people who are selling water for $5 a bottle, when it comes down to it, and someone really needs it, of course they're going to help. But I mean, you want to encourage people to bring these supplies to needed areas.
Here's a really interesting thing, because I don't know where this ends, where it begins and where it ends. And for instance, water bothers me because it's water. If you don't have water, people die. So I hate the idea of price gouging for water. Okay. But I don't know where that begins and where that ends. Let me tell you a story. My Aunt Joanne and Uncle Dave, they used to own this little teeny house. It was about a block away from the Puyallup Fair, the Western Washington State Fair. Western Washington State Fair was huge. Puyallup Fair, everybody went to the Puyallup Fair. All over the state, people came. Okay, they lived so close to the Puyallup Fair that when the grandstands burned down one year back in the 70s, their house almost burned. They were out with a garden hose, spraying down the top of their roof because of the ashes that were coming. But I will tell you this, they worked at the Puyallup Fair, but then they also sold their front lawn and their back lawn for parking. Mm. And I remember a day parking on their lawn, which they wouldn't have done any other time of the year, but we could have done for free. All of a sudden, one car was like $35 a day. Isn't that price gouging? Except there's not an emergency.
According to Stu, that's event pricing.
It is.
It is.
It is.
But isn't this, with an exception of life-saving stuff, isn't this event pricing too?
I know. I'd be interested to see what the Consumer Alliance in the state does. Because in Rita, I was just reading last time, when the governor declares a county disaster, then you can't price gouge. And they prosecuted 600 people. 600 wow. cases. I'm going to find out what those cases were.
Incredible.
A malicious malware called Sonic Spy has now been found in over 1,000 apps on a popular mobile operating system. Spyware has a lot of functions, including recording your calls, hijacking your phone's cameras to take photos, tracking your whereabouts, and stealing your contacts. Now think of that. Hijacking your phone, your contacts, your video, and taking picture. Wow, that's not good. Here's the thing. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. And this is how these things begin. Now, nobody can, monitor all transactions at all businesses or prevent all identity theft. But we're not talking about your credit. We're talking about your identity. We're talking about everything that you are. If there's a problem, LifeLock has a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist that will work to fix it. LifeLock also uncovers the threats that you might miss, like Sonic Spy. Did you even know that was going on? LifeLock.com, 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck. That's Beck. Get 10% off your LifeLock membership. 10% now, promo code Beck, 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad that you are here. I hope that you take the time to recognize all of the good things that are happening in America. As I've watched the this unfold in Texas, and I'm seeing story after story after story, even members of the press not asking people, did you vote for Donald Trump? Wait a minute, are you white or are you black? You're black. Your white privilege is what's kept you in this home. They weren't doing any of that. They were actually going out and helping and rescue. We've become Americans again, and it may only last a couple more days. It may be over by this time tomorrow, but right now it's happening. And let's take a moment and recognize that no one cares who you voted for right now. We are Americans again. The fundamental transformation of America may have happened in Washington, D.C., but it has not happened totally in our hearts yet. When push comes to shove, we're actually still those people.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.